Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us on this April the 10th in the year of our Lord 2022.
Nearly Christmas time.
It is. Before we can sneeze three times, it'll be.
It will.
Yeah, sure.
Thank God it is Easter time, though. That's man, right. I love Easter.
I do too. And next week's lesson will be. We'll be Easter, and we'll be teaching Easter stories.
Yes.
Next week, Easter scripture. But for this week, we're going to be talking about a life of victory. Nobody likes to live a defeated life, but a lot of people are.
Yep.
A lot of people are.
So many are.
And it would take just such a simple thing, like that girl that's talking about AT&T on television. It's not all that complicated.
No.
It's not really complicated.
Not really.
It's really costly.
It is
for
that,
the Lord.
Indeed. Yes, yes.
And, but it's not all that complicated. And we'll be telling you about that. Some of you that are listening may not even be a Christian. And we don't want to leave you like that, because I'm telling you, that has some very serious end results.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
yeah.
I don't even like to think about the burning pits of hell. But it's just as real as the shining streets of heaven.
It is. It is indeed.
And so we would not neglect to tell you, if I saw you about to step on a rattlesnake, what kind of person would I be if I didn't warn you?
Yeah.
And you could jump back. And same thing, if you're going to die without Christ, that eternity in hell. We have to warn them.
Ain't it the truth?
And then you forsake and miss that wonderful eternity in heaven with the Lord. So, a life of victory. Now, what we're going to do, and you can get your Bibles if you're where you can. John 16 is the chapter we're going to be studying from, verses 19 through 22, and then verses 27 through 33. So it's going to be a real wonderful, wonderful study. And you pray for us, and we'll pray for you. Now, I'm going to lead us in our opening prayer, and I'm going to pray for us to understand the will of God and His Word and teach it to you in such a way that you'll understand it, and He'll anoint it and bless it. And He always has promised to do that.
He
said, "My Word will not return void." So what we're going to say this morning, coming from the Bible, is going to do something for some of you that are listening.
Amen.
And I hope all of you that do. And then Brother Mike's going to read the scripture, and then we're just going to dive in and study the scripture. Let me have prayer with you. Father, we do thank you for those people who have joined us today. We don't know what they look like. We don't know where they live. We don't even know what state they live in, but you do.
Yes, Lord.
And you've arranged for them to be there by the radio this morning as we try to teach your word.
Yes, God.
So please, as they get ready to go to their own Sunday school and church, help them to listen very carefully to the teaching about a life of victory.
Yeah.
For I would, if I could, prescribe for them a life of victory, not a life of defeat. Now, God, would you make it plain for those that may be lost without Jesus that's no way to live, and it's an awful way to die, and help us to be able to explain that so that even the youngest child may understand. And somebody today out there miles away from us will come to know Jesus as their personal Savior.
Yes, granted.
And they'll find them a good church that believes the Bible, and they'll unite, and they'll learn, and they'll help in the church, and help even to grow the church. Now, yes. Thank you, Jesus, and we love you. Amen.
Amen. A life without coughing.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be nice?
I think when I get to heaven, I won't cough.
With that.
But it's a strange thing. Every time I eat, I cough.
Yeah.
I'm not eating anything but the Word of God. But
that's
I guess
right.
The devil
right.
Wants me to cough through that.
He does indeed.
But he ain't going to win.
No.
No way in the world. a life of victory. This is the final lesson in the general heading. We've had six, had five before this, and this is the sixth one. Living life connected to Christ. That's the way to have victory. If you, one of our recorders here, we're using batteries to power it. The other one, we're using electricity that comes off of the power line. Now, if I unplug that thing, there ain't going to be no victory over on that one.
Nope, it'll be over with.
It'll stop still and be dead as a doornail. I don't know how dead a doornail is, but that's what it will be anyhow.
Yes, it will.
But as long as it's plugged to the power, it'll do its job. And as long as you walk connected to Christ, your life surrendered to Christ, your life honoring Christ, you will have
victory.
No way about it. The devil may hit you on both sides of the head at the same time, but you won't even get a headache from it.
Not at all.
The Lord will protect you. Now, these lessons have taught us to stay connected to Christ. Anything that the devil sends, Jesus is bigger. He's bigger than he that's in the world. He that's within us is greater than he that's in the world. Now, the crucifixion reminds us, and of course that's what happened on the Friday before Easter. And next Sunday, of course, we'll be studying Easter.
Indeed.
So the Friday of this week that we're in now, it's been April the 10th and going through that week then is the week of the crucifixion. And it reminds us that God is at work even when we don't understand what's going on in our world. How in the world can a death of a man 2,000 plus years ago on a painful, shameful cross over in the Palestinian area, how can it do us any good? Well, there's a Christian song that tells us when we don't see the hands of God and see what he's doing to trust his heart.
Amen.
Because he's always,
how
what
true
he's
that
doing,
is.
Always out of love and always out of concern and out of wanting to help us. Even in the darkest hours, we have assurance of victory. Now, this lesson today was taught by Jesus in the upper room just before his crucifixion. And there was a pastor, he's dead now and gone, but he used to pastor down at Big Sandy Baptist Church in Tuscaloosa, mm-hmm. in Tuscaloosa Association. Right. And he would sing every Sunday with his old quavering voice. I used to wonder what an old quavering voice was until I got one.
Amen.
But he would sing, "When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me."
Amen.
And that's my prayer.
Amen.
My prayer for me, my prayer for you. And I know when he stands by us, we always have victory.
Amen.
And he's promised to stand by us.
He has.
So I'll never leave you.
He keeps his promises.
Never, yes, never one has he broken. Nope. We're going to look at three things today, plus probably half a dozen others. But mixed emotions as we think about this life of victory and what got it for us. A life of victory, first of all, is a life of devotion. And we'll explain more about that. A life of victory through our association with Christ gives us that life of victory. So, Brother Mike, if you'd read for us that first set of scriptures.
In John chapter 16, verse 19. John chapter 16, verse 19. "Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do you inquire among yourselves of that I said, A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you."
That's pretty sure, isn't it?
That's very sure.
That's better than have it locked up in the vault.
Yeah, it is. That is the absolute promise of God Almighty.
No man can take it from us. No man, no woman, no situation can take away our joy and our victory.
Not even ourselves, Herschel. That's one of the things that people don't understand sometimes. They want to say, well, you know, I can do this and God will not love me anymore. That's just a lie of hell.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do to make him love you any more than he already does. Right. Nothing you can do to make him love you any less, because he died for you yet while you were in your sins. So when I look at what he said, no man can take it from you. I understand, or at least in my human way, I understand what he meant, that you know, it doesn't matter what man does to you. Doesn't matter what you do to yourself. Christ is going to love you just as much, and he's going to still stand with you. That's a difficult thing for me to understand. And some people, you know, want to say, well, that means I can just act as vile, as ugly, and sin just as much as I want to. Well, let me tell you something. If you want to sin, now I'm not talking about temptation, because temptation comes to all of us. But if your heart's desire is to sin, then I question whether or not you've ever been saved at all. Because I don't want to sin. Now, I am tempted to sin on occasion as a human being, but I don't want to. But this is a precious story to me. When Jesus was talking to the disciples, it was very hard for them to understand that he was going to be gone for a little while, 3 days, as we know it, in the tomb. Then he would be back again. But now for us, it has a different meaning. For us, he's gone to heaven to be with the Father, but he's coming again to receive us unto himself. So that's a very rich verse of scripture and promise of God.
It is, and Paul supports you fully in the book of Romans, for he says, for we know that, this is in chapter 7 of the book of Romans, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, I'm fleshly, sold under sin. I'm a slave to sin. For that which I do, I allow not. I don't want it. That's what you said a minute ago.
Absolutely.
I don't want it. That I would, that I don't do. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. And it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not do, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, that other man that lives within us. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Now all of this so far sounds like pure defeat. Paul said, I won't do that, but I can't.
Yeah, but then he says,
O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is therefore, let me say that again, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's victory.
That's victory. That's living in victory. And I don't want anybody who's listening to us to get confused over what we're talking about. We're not saying it's all right to sin.
No.
Don't get that wrong. Paul said, I would not do it. I don't want to do it. It's not in my heart to desire to do it. But yet I do it anyway. Yeah. And I find myself in that very shape sometimes, and I want to say, oh, Lord, why? And that's why it's so wrong, I think, that we start out a lot of times with a new Christian. We'll say, yeah, he's been such a sorry old rascal or a silly old young'un, and now they're going to come and make this little profession of faith. And it won't last. It won't last. First thing you know, they'll be right back out there in the world. Well, don't take that attitude.
No.
Take the attitude that what can I do to help them? New Christians, just like old Christians, are going to make mistakes.
Absolutely.
And they're going to do things. And they're going to do them sometimes even intentionally. And you want to just, you want to come down on their head till you happen to remember yourself. And our own lives and our own way of living and our own thoughts and deeds. And I tell you what, the Christian life is a journey. It's a process.
It is.
And it starts when you get saved. Brandon Pinion, we talked about him a while ago a little bit, our old buddy's in glory now, but he and I have talked about it. You know, I am saved. I'm being saved. And I will be saved.
Ultimately, finally, forever, I will be.
Amen. And that's the process of the Christian walk. I'm not anywhere near the same person I was 50 years ago when I got saved.
No.
And if there were some times in there when you'd have said, I don't believe that old boy is even saved. I don't think he even knows who God is. But you know, there's never been a time when God ever turned me loose.
No.
There's never been a time when he through the Holy Spirit didn't draw me back and, yes, chastise me. There's been times when I've had prices to pay that I didn't want to have to pay, but I had done the deed and I had to suffer the consequences. I've been chastised, but I'm thankful to God for every chastisement.
Amen.
Because every time it's kind of like the old football coach who went after they lose a ball game, he says, well, we learned a lot from that loss. Well, that's the way it is in a Christian life. We need to treat every time of failure as a loss, because it is a loss. And if we live in it, if we dwell in it, and if we don't take it to God and get it right, then it does become a loss of our fellowship with Christ, our fellowship with the church, and even our fellowship with each other.
Absolutely.
So we have to be careful when we condemn others for their sin, and then we also have to be careful with ourselves, because if you truly have believed and you truly have been saved, then God's not going to turn you loose.
Never.
He's not going to walk away and say, oh well, I don't care anything about them anymore, I don't love them anymore.
That would be a failure on his part.
That's right. That just does not happen. And that's what Jesus was talking to these disciples about. Why, can you imagine what went through their minds in those 3 days when Jesus was in the grave? And then afterward, even, you know, Peter said, I'm going back fishing.
I'm giving this business up.
Yeah, I'm just going to walk away. I'm going to give it up. But Christ didn't give up on him.
Yeah.
And he's not going to give up on me and Herschel. And neither is he going to give up on you. You can listen to what I'm telling you today, because if you've genuinely, truly been saved, then Christ is not going to walk away and give up on you.
Is that what we call being saved, being born again, becoming a new creature? When a baby is first born, I love little babies.
I do too.
Several little babies in our family. And they can't get unborn, but I can't say, go get me a glass of water to a 1 month old. He ain't learned how to go get me a glass of water.
He hadn't learned how to do that yet.
And he's got to grow in that process that God's telling me about. And when we're born again, we are new creations, but we have to grow in those creations. We have to learn. God don't go in and do surgery on our brain and take out all the old bad stuff that we've crammed in, the devil's helped push in down through the years. And then just put in the good stuff so that we don't remember. Now, God can forget not remember it.
He can't. I'm so thankful he can, and I'm so thankful he does. But no, we can't, and Satan makes sure that we can't. And he wants to drag it up and tell you, oh, you're just a sorry, low-down, good-for-nothing. Now, He don't want you to repent of individual sins, because he wants to be able to come back at you again with what, especially with whatever area you're weak in.
Right.
And he wants to keep hitting you in that same area again and again. So if you repent of that and you come before Christ with it, then that means that you're going to try your best not to let that happen again.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Now, occasionally it will happen again, and that's no excuse, because that old sin nature still lives within us. We was born with it. You know, I've heard of people having plastic surgery to change the looks of their face. You can change how you look. You might take that old big nose you got from Uncle Bill and make it into a little bitty nose, but you still got them genes and that bloodline of old Uncle Bill anyway.
And if you had an accident and cut off both your arm, both your legs, you still going to be you.
That's right.
And you still got that old nature that came all the way ultimately from Satan on through Adam to us.
And we're weak in that regard. And I don't like that. It's not an excuse to sin. And don't ever use it that way, because there is no excuse for sin. And let me quickly say this. Every sin will be accounted for.
Amen.
It will be paid for.
Amen.
Either by Christ on the cross or by you in torment forever. Now, that's your choice. That's your choice. But as a Christian, we know that Christ died for our sins. And we know that we have been born again. And we live because of Christ. But be careful that you handle the scripture properly. And understand what he's trying to tell us.
I want an old fellow to let an old fellow to the Lord. One time it was a bootlegger, and this was on Tuesday. And on Friday, I went by to see him again, because we were going to have baptism on Sunday. And so when I went by, he was wringing his hands and pacing the floor. And he said, "Preacher, you know I raise hogs. And I got out there yesterday and I slid down in all that mess."
That old mud,
and he said, "Before I knew it, I said one of them bad words I used to say." He said, "Will God still save me and forgive me?" I said, "You are saved forever."
Amen.
And God's just waiting to forgive you if you'll ask
him. Amen.
But and mentioning hogs, what if I bought a real pretty hog? Have you ever seen a pretty hog?
Oh, yeah, I've seen some pretty hogs.
What if I bought a pretty hog and I brought him over here to your shop, and we got a big galvanized tub right here in the middle of it, and we put soapy water and cleaned him up and brushed his teeth, painted his toenails, put a ribbon on top of his head, and turned him loose close to a mud hole? What would he do?
He'd go back to that mud hole.
Why?
He's all dressed up. He's a hog. He don't care about all that dressing up.
He still got that hog nature.
He still got that blood.
Jesus didn't die for the hog.
That's right.
And he did die for us. The Holy Spirit doesn't go live in the hog and try to help him to overcome that other temptation that comes from the old fleshly nature. But we Christians do have the Holy Spirit.
We do. And that's why I say the Christian walk is a process, because, you know, even we, as a pastor over the almost 50 years, 47 years that I've been a pastor, I've seen a lot of people come to Christ, and I've seen some of them that have maybe been faster in the process of learning and becoming more holy, and others, it takes them a little longer, but I've never seen to this day one that I thought that God had ever turn loose.
You won't ever.
It doesn't happen. But I've seen many make mistakes, do stuff
they
shouldn't do, bad mistakes. And that's why I try to encourage and try to teach my young Christians that come to Christ at New Salem. God saved us. Romans 8:28-29 talks about all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. But the whole idea of Romans 28:29 is to help you understand that it is God's plan.
Yes.
He says we are predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. It's God's plan that you become more like Jesus every day.
Right.
Now, I didn't say much more like Deacon Sam or even Pastor Mike or Herschel. He said to become more like Christ every day. Measure your progress of Christian growth by the life of Christ and no one else, because no one else is in that same path that you're in. And so when we mess up, Christ did not. And so we go back and see. He was tempted even as we are. That means that in our temptations, we are to resist as he did and do our dead level best not to sin.
That's exactly right.
But when we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father.
Mm-hmm.
We have Christ.
What's an advocate?
An advocate is like a lawyer.
That's right.
An attorney who's on my
Another
side.
Another represents us.
And the best part of it is, my lawyer is the judge's son.
That's right.
And he goes to the Father and says, let me take that on me. You just put that on my account. And then the Holy Spirit says to old Mike or whoever you, whatever your name is, you need to do better. And so 1 John, we go over and see.
Mm-hmm.
We confess our sins. He forgives our sins and cleanses us from that unrighteousness. Then we go again, and we try our best. True repentance is when we're really sorry for that sin, and we do our dead level best not to fall back into it.
So don't get the idea that we're feeding you a life of defeat here, because we sin, because that nature, sometimes we let it win. We don't have to let it win, but without the Holy Spirit within us and us listening to him and obeying him, it will win.
It will win.
But that is not a life of defeat. Sorrow in our life comes before celebration does. We're going to walk through those times.
Yep.
Because we still, until God delivers us from this body of sin, this body of flesh, until that fleshly nature forever is taken away from us through the new the process of living life and having victories as we go. But ultimately, when Jesus takes us home to heaven and when he proclaims us his forever, and we live on those wonderful streets of glory, and the old song says, I'll have a new body, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Hallelujah, that's
and
right.
So, but in the meantime, now, some of you may say, well, man, I don't look like I'm having victory. I'm sinning. I've done things that are wrong. No. If you've truly been saved, if you truly have been sorry for your sin, and you truly have asked the Lord to forgive you, then he has done so.
Amen. Yes, he has. And in relation to what you were saying there a minute ago, you know, if you watch the pattern of God throughout Scripture, Old Testament and New, you'll see that even from the times of Moses, when there was the promise of God, the mm-hmm. Holy Land, you know, the promised land, God gave the promise, then came the trial,
right,
and mm-hmm. then came the fulfillment of the promise.
That's right.
And many times you and I find ourselves saying, oh, this is wonderful, you know, I'm going to heaven, everything's going to be just wonderful and lovely and great. There's a lot of trials between here and home.
Here comes those trials.
That's right. Between here and home, there's a lot of trials can come into our lives. But praise be unto God, he has never, ever, ever let me go through those trials alone. Never. Even when I made bad decisions, I had to suffer the consequences of those bad decisions, and I had to repent. But once done, then I'm on track again, the path once again looks bright. So live a life of it. Don't live a life of defeat. Oh, I'm no good. I'm no count, you know. Oftentimes when I pray, Herschel, I run into that.
Oh, me too.
Almost every time I say that I pray. And I know I'm not worthy to come to God in prayer. I know I'm not. I realize that. I don't have to be told that by Satan nor by his demons. I know I'm a low life and a sorry guy. I know what I'm capable of, or at least most of it. But I must not let Satan get in the way of my prayers, because he wants to come at you when you start to pray and you start to feel those old feelings of, well, Oh, I got to say to the Lord, Lord, I'm just a sorry, no count, good for nothing. Don't do that.
No.
Don't do that. The Holy Spirit will let you know. If there's sin that needs to be forgiven in your life, ask him about it. And be serious about it. Then listen. Let the Holy Spirit confront you with whatever sin might need forgiving.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit acts as a sin meter in your life, and he'll turn the red light on for you. Now, if you want to shut your eyes and be blinded to it and go on, you can do that.
Yeah.
You can do it for a while.
Yeah.
God's going to deal with you. Oh, man. He's had to deal with me at times in my life.
Me too.
And that's the reason I say the sorrow is going to come before the celebration. But you believe God. You trust God. You do repent. You do admit sin. You do say, Lord, I know I've invited you into my heart. And I know that you are true to your word. And you said if I would repent, you'd forgive. So I'm just claiming that. You're talking about naming and claiming. That's one of the areas you're safe in.
Well, that's a promise of God. And if
that's
it's a
right.
promise of God, you can claim the promises of God. Forgiveness is something that God says he will do. We can't understand the love of God. We can't. We can't understand, you know, his word fully. But there's one thing I do understand here, and this is one of the most wonderful descriptions of it, was in the relationship that the disciples had with Christ before the cross.
Right.
Then what they saw when he was crucified. When he passed away, he died on that cross. His heart stopped beating. He voluntarily gave his life there on the cross.
He truly died.
And he was taken and put in a tomb. It was real death. And I don't know. I hear some preachers will say, well, he marched into hell with a water gun and conquered Satan and all. I don't know what happened in those 3 days. I'll be honest with you.
No, we don't.
But I do know that Christ paid the price in full for my sin.
And I know he won the victory because on the third day he came alive. And
absolutely.
That's what we're going to be shouting glory next Sunday about.
Absolutely.
We may come on here just to carry on like I don't know what, because he came out
Hallelujah.
Of the tomb. The
Hallelujah.
Devil couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't hold him. And sin can't hold you, friend. If you choose to be saved and you choose to live life, you're going to have those afflictions. You're going to have those times of weakness in your life when you do sin. But you're also going to have a time when you can think back, well, Jesus died and paid for this sin. I've gone in with some time to eat. In fact, about 3 weeks ago, some folks asked us to meet them somewhere to eat, and I got up to go pay my bill, and they said, you don't owe anything.
Oh, wow.
That's
how
all
nice.
They're taking care of.
How nice.
What a glorious thought to think that sin that I committed yesterday or I will commit today, because we don't live a day without either thinking a wrong or saying a wrong or doing a wrong. We are sinners. We're redeemed sinners, saved sinners. But praise God, when I get up there to the cash register and say, I want to pay, Lord, I want to pay. No, wait, it's already been taken care of.
Yeah.
The old rugged cross.
Yeah.
that took care of it. And proof of it is that on the Easter Sunday morning, I'm going to get them both mixed up here. So,
heroes.
But, oh, man. So we are victorious. We do. And there's emotion in that, mixed emotion. There's the sorrow when we sin, and there's the joy when knowing that and living with and for Jesus Christ. The joy that Jesus gives sometimes demands suffering. And a lady giving birth to a baby, she suffers.
Yeah.
But when they lay that little baby in her arms,
all
that suffering she forgets.
It's all worth it.
She forgets.
Absolutely.
That's like the fella said the other day. He said, I had my knee replaced. My other one now tells me it needs replacing. I tell it to shut up. I ain't going through that again. But a woman, when she gets that little baby in her arms, She will go through it again for another little precious baby. Will. And our suffering that we go through does not pay for our sin, but it reminds us of He who did pay for our sin. It reminds us what Jesus has done. But the old Christian song says, must Jesus bear the cross alone? And I don't think you're talking about a stump toe or skin toe.
No,
that's
all.
Not it.
No.
But there's some crosses in our life and some temptations and some suffering. And then they've got to come before we get that final celebration.
Yep.
No, Jesus, don't let Him bear the cross alone. I can't bear the one He bore.
No, that's the one He bore was, for all the sins of all the world, of all humankind, for all the centuries. And that's big. I can't understand that at all. But it's in my life, in my little old sinful self and my heart, that I want to tame it. I want it to be holy. I want my life to be holy. I want it to be pleasing to God. But there's going to be sorrows in this life. There's going to be. Christ told His old disciples, boys, you better listen to me. You're going to weep and lament. And when you weep and lament, the world's going to rejoice.
That's right.
They're gonna think, victory is ours. We have won. We have won. Well, listen, Jesus is the victor.
Yeah.
He is the victor. He is my Savior. He is my Lord. And I know that day is coming when we're going to rejoice in His presence. And we're going to look into His precious face and we're going to say, thank you so much.
Lord,
thank you so much.
For He Himself, as you've said, is the victory. If we got Him and He's got us, we're victorious.
Yeah, that scripture in Isaiah 53 where He says, He is wounded
for our transgression.
For our transgression, not for His.
Right.
What a horrible injustice. Mm-hmm. What a terrible injustice. He was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. How special is that?
How, Mike, somebody that maybe never been to church or not much, somebody that doesn't know anything about this salvation, they hear us preachers talking about. Tell me a little bit and tell them more especially how God works and what their part is in the salvation.
A good example is an old boy that came to Christ in our church a few years ago. We was building our new sanctuary, and he lived there fairly close to the church, and he knew what was going on. He could see us down there working. And there wasn't many days that when he'd get off from work, he'd come down there, or on Saturday, he'd come and work all day, and he even took a week of his vacation on one occasion, coming. And, the guys would sort of witness to him. They'd say things like, maybe we'll see you Sunday. And he kept on saying, one of these days. And I knew the life he was living because he told me.
Yeah.
He didn't make any bones about it. I mean, he was a drug addict, and he was an alcoholic even on top of all of that. I mean, it was just and somehow he managed to clean up his language while he was working on the building. But, I looked at him and I prayed for him, and I thought, Lord, underneath there's got to be that good man
right
down under there somewhere. And finally we got the building built and he disappeared. I thought, it's over with now. But one Sunday he showed up and he kind of laughed. He said, I told you I was going to come. I said, yeah, you did. And he began to come sporadically and then more. And then one Sunday in tears, he came to the altar. And he said, I believe what you guys, he said, I've seen it. Now I know that it's true. And I want what y'all got. I want to be saved. I want to know Christ as my Savior and be forgiven. But preacher, you don't know what all I've done. I said, no, and I don't want to know what all you've done. Because I can assure you that what you've done is no worse than what I've done or anybody else has done. In the eyes of God, sin is sin. Wrong is wrong. And so at that day, here's the idea. He came to Christ and he said, Lord, I believe. And as I told him that day, I tell you right now, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
If this day you believe what Herschel and I are talking about, you believe that Jesus did die on the cross for your sins, if you believe with all your heart and know that he is the Son of God, then all you've got to do is confess that before God right now. Right now, just let him know and repent of your sin. Let him know that how sorry you are, how you wish you hadn't done it, and how you want to start afresh and anew. That old boy, he wouldn't mind me calling his name. Old Homer, he came down that altar, and boy, he in tears accepted Christ. Well, guess what, Herschel? About a month later, he was in jail. He had done got caught with drugs again. And he was so embarrassed, he wasn't going to come back to church. And I told him, I said, Homer, that's step number one. He said, well, I've got to spend my time. I said, that's fine. Pay your price for your sin. Pay the consequences. But as soon as you get out of that jail, you come on back to church. And thankfully, the folks at church, boy, we're glad to see you. Glad you're back again. Love you. And praise God, today, let me tell you something. That old boy, me and him have been down some tough dirt roads together. Some of them was mine, some of them was his. But that old boy loves the Lord with all his heart, and he loves that church, and he's right in the middle of it. And I praise God for that.
That's the victory we're talking about. That's the victory. Victory now, victory tomorrow, victory for all eternity.
And that's what it means, Herschel, to put our life in the hands of Christ. Yeah, we're going to make mistakes, and we're going to mess up. Just like a kid, when he's learning to walk, he's going to fall, and that's the reason God gave him padding on his backside so he could fall down on it and it wouldn't hurt so bad. You and I have those same cushions that Christ has given us. If you'll come to him, he'll forgive you. Get back in church.
Amen.
Get in a church of Bible-believing folks that'll love you and encourage you and help you. And if you don't know where one is, there's one about 3 miles north of Reform on County Road 3 called New Salem Baptist Church. And I promise you that kind of reception there.
That's right. And I can say amen to that invitation also. And if you live too far to come there, there is bound to
there's plenty of them around you. There's
somewhere close to you there that you can go to. Well, the life of victory is, of course, a life of mixed emotion. We're up one day, and then we're down. But ultimately, we know who has the key. We know who holds the keys of death and hell. We know who's paid the price.
Yes, we do.
And he never lost one yet.
And he ain't going to lose one tomorrow. He is not going to lose one, though we go through the terrible times that's happening in the world today. So many of those old Christians of days gone by have gone through times worse than this.
Amen.
And no, he's not going to lose one.
No,
not going to happen.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to move on. The life of victory is a life of devotion. Mike, read that next section.
In John 16, again, chapter 27, for the Father himself loveth you because you loved me. Now, I want to back up and hit that one more time.
You can do it.
The Father loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and I'm coming to the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee? By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. In other words, we are sure. We know. We are convinced. We believe.
And a born-again Christian.
Absolutely.
Have the Father's devotion. They have his love. That's not to say if you're not a Christian that he don't love you. He loves you, but you're not his child yet.
That's right.
And he wants you to be. So, but I can tell you, if you've taken that step and asked him to forgive you and you've repented of your sin, you have the Father's love. And a father will he'll reach down and hold his hand to that little boy, that little girl, and help them to walk and not fall. He'll help them to cross the creek on a log that they couldn't walk by themselves. He'll help you through those difficult and tough times. And there's just no way about it. And so the first thing you get in your mind is that God don't hate you because you all the time are not perfect. You never will be perfect in this life.
No, that's not going to happen.
No. You will be when you get to heaven.
That's right.
You'll be perfect right there, but not here. So you also, born again Christians, has a love for Jesus.
Amen.
You can't.
For sure.
How can you love one whom you have not seen? If Jesus said to his disciples, "If you don't love me, who you do see?"
That's right.
How can you? So the time that he was going to be away is like Mike said. In this particular instance, was the 3 days when he would vanish from the face of the earth.
Right.
Taken down, dying on a cross, taking him down, carried him out there into a tomb, put him in a cave, what was his tomb, sealed it up with a big old rock so man couldn't move it, wouldn't be able to move it, and leave him there. That was his final defeat. Now the demons in hell danced around all over the place and said, "We beat him.
Yeah, we beat him. Yeah.
And because we beat him, we beat all those folks that's going to call themselves Christians." But yeah, that didn't happen, Mike.
That didn't happen, nope.
Mike. And we'll next week we'll tell you about him coming out of that tomb. But if you've been saved, you will love Jesus. You won't always serve him like you wish you would. You won't be perfect, but you will love him. I can tell you, from one who came from not knowing anything about God and to one who loves the Lord Jesus. And I talk to him day and night.
Amen.
And it's just a joy to walk with him. Now, Jesus proved his devotion. What do you think it cost him to leave heaven and come to this earth, Mike?
Well, it cost him everything, even to the point of on the cross, the Father turned his back on him. I mean, he was completely alone. He left the throne. He left the glory. He left everything that heaven is, even to the point of the right hand of the Father, the special seat next to the Almighty King, God himself. And step down into this old earth. Boy, that don't make sense to me.
Oh, how he loved you and me, the song says. But that doesn't say the genius of it.
No, it doesn't even start to describe it. Not in a little bit. You and I have no comprehension of that. But he said, "I came into the world." Now he said, "I've got to leave the world and then I've got to go to the Father." That's where, at the grave, he even told Mary, he told the ladies who had come to the tomb, "Don't touch me, I haven't yet ascended to the Father." I don't know what that meant altogether.
I don't either.
But I know that before he could interact with human beings, as he had before, he had to go to the Father. And something transpired, but I know
that's too sacred for
it is.
our minds to understand here.
It's beyond our understanding. But we do know that he had been through hell for me and you. Whatever that means, I don't know yet.
All the suffering of hell for
it does.
Not just me and you, Mike. That'd be
the whole world
even think, but for every sin, the Hitlers,
that's right,
Husseins, Putin's, all of these, demon possessed.
Yeah.
He loves them too.
All the little babies, little children that have been raped and abused and mistreated, and babies aborted in the womb and killed, even though they had never even seen the light of day. All of that, Jesus paid for it. He became that. He became that sin. No wonder he shrank back from drinking that cup.
He who had never sinned, never touched sin, never sinned, became fully sin. Became sin.
That's right.
The very sin Oh, Jesus.
And all he asks of us is that we believe him.
Right.
And that we receive him, and then that we do our best
right.
to become holy as he is holy.
Trust him
and let him transform our lives. That, wow. And you know what, Herschel? I'd want that.
Yeah.
Even if this life was all there was.
I would too.
I'd want that life anyway.
I would too.
But better than that, it's just begun when we leave this old world. It's just begun.
Well, he pronounced his love for us both then and now by his word there in verses that 28 through 30 that you read. I mean, how in the world those disciples understood it enough that they said, Jesus said, I came from the Father, I'm come to the world. I leave the world, then I'm going to the Father. That's what my mission is. You speak plain. We know you're not telling this in Proverbs now.
Right.
And he said, well, now are we sure that thou knowest all things and needest not that any man should ask you. For by this we believe that thou came forth from God. He was very evidently God, divine, not human, fully human too, because that's the only way he could be my substitute. And that I'll mention in the next, we'll mention in this next session. But I know my mama loved me. My mama would have died for me. But
I believe with all my heart.
It might well save me from
died for me.
It might well save me
sure.
from some occasion right then and there.
Yeah.
But it
yeah.
wouldn't do anything for eternity.
Not at all.
Mama couldn't do it.
Nope.
I could have cried, Mama help me. Even yeah. as I was dying. Mama help me. And Mama would have done anything.
Certainly she
only
would.
One could do that.
And I believe Mama would have. I believe she would have died for me.
I know she would have.
But Mama couldn't. She couldn't pay for my sin.
No.
She couldn't rise again. She was not perfect herself.
No.
As
no.
much as I loved her,
that's right.
I still do. And as much as I look forward to seeing her again,
amen.
I know good and well that Mama wasn't perfect.
No.
Just
she
as
was
I'm
human.
Not perfect, she was human too. And that whole thing comes down to that Christ never, even in his temptations, never sinned. And now he's willing to give that purity, that innocence to me because he paid for my sin. That's too good to be true.
Well, it is too good to be true, but it is true.
But it is true.
That's what makes it so good. We better read that last little section there, Mike, and we're going to finish thinking.
Yeah, we better tighten up a knot.
Yeah, Christians are promised a life of victory, but first comes the suffering.
In John 16, and then we'll look at verse 31. Jesus answered them, do ye now believe? Boy, is that not the big question,
mm-hmm.
Herschel?
Mm-hmm.
Do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Okay. Living in victory. Victory in Jesus. There it is.
Well, persecution will come, and I believe a major one is on the horizon, Mike. That's the world has got brave enough
yeah.
to come out and say what it felt all along. It's yeah. hatred for Christians.
There's no doubt in my mind, Herschel, that we're living in a time like has never been before.
That's right.
There's been tribulation, trials, and troubles, and wars, and rumors of wars. Jesus said all these things are going to be. However, we're in a time now when the fulfillment of Revelation, Daniel, and all of those things is as real as today's
sure.
newspaper, as the news writers on TV. They can try to slant it all they want to, but it's the fulfillment of prophecy. is all around you today. You don't have time
no.
to play around and say, oh, not today. Mm-mm. Let me tell you what, today is the day.
That's right.
This is the day, right now.
It's all we have.
Is the time. And you may say, well, I'm just 20 years old. Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. That means that if you should live and time go on, you'll have time to serve God, have time to gain some rewards with Christ. But you know what? I'm not sure this world's got mm-hmm. many more years, it's if gonna, any.
It'll surprise me if it does.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
And in fact, I've walked out in the cemetery, and I've seen the time between the dates on the dash yeah. in there be 20 years.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
You don't know when that hour comes. You can't come back and redo it. There won't be a redo on this.
No, it won't be.
If you're not ready, if you're not ready when he comes or when the death angel visits you in the hospital or at home or on the highway, wherever you may be, then, friend, I've got news for you. You not only are going to lose it all here, but for all eternity, you're going to suffer and burn. And please remember what Mike said to you a few minutes ago. He told you a prescription for living a life of victory, not only now. Sure, there are going to be some stones in the road you're going to stumble over, and there are going to be some places you're going to trip and fall, because you're human. We explained that to you. But Jesus knew that before he ever created us.
Indeed he did.
He knew we would be like that. But he loved us anyway. But friend, of all the things I could tell you, we got all disturbed about this COVID. And we
yeah.
didn't go to, and the devil
yeah.
told us, best place to stay away from the church.
Oh, yeah, and yeah.
You might find something there that would have something to do with eternity.
Yeah.
And so we got in that frame of mind. But you remember this, of all the things that you ought to fear and you ought to reject out of your life is this rejecting Jesus who loved you and died for you. Victory, oh yeah, victory now, victory tomorrow, victory forever. But it only comes to those who have faith in the Lord Jesus, whose sins have been forgiven and paid for by the precious blood of Jesus. And that's what we're asking you to do. You can have victory. He wants you to have.
You will have. It's his promise. You will have. We'll have victory during tribulation, during times like we're suffering right now. I mean, listen, if gasoline goes to $10 a gallon, it ain't nothing like some of the suffering that can come.
No, that's absolutely right.
And you just got to know that right now is the hour. Right now is the time.
And right now is the test.
Yep.
We're going through. And don't be surprised that you go through it. You may say, well, I didn't think the Lord would let me go through this. Oh, listen. Don't you let the devil talk you into such stuff as that. Because there is a payday someday. But there's also a payday right now.
That's right. There is.
When we sin, then we must immediately turn to the Lord and ask his forgiveness and repent of it right now today.
The times of the coming of Christ is right now. It's as real, it's as close. And I know with everything that's in me that your chance and mine is very, very short, very, very limited. I'm 70 years old. You may be 25 or you may be 85. But the truth of the matter is, none of us have long to go on this old earth. And I'd rather spend the rest of my time here on this earth with Christ and know what I've got coming in heaven any day than I had to live for this old world and what few and temporary things it might give me.
The very next sound you hear could be the voice of God calling your name.
Amen.
Come home. You can think you're perfectly healthy. And we've recently had some folks to die who everybody thought was just perfectly healthy. And they just sat down and died. One preacher that was fairly young sat down and died. Next sound you hear may be the musical note of a trump of God as he announces Jesus coming back. Please today, take this victory that he offers. He loves you. We love you. You join us, if you will, next week right here, and we'll talk about Easter.